Bamboo Insights, valuable knowledge from amazing experts.
Hello, dear listeners. I'm your host, Ayaka. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to learn the world of bamboo with you. Today, we are talking about how people from different cultures communicate with each other. It's interesting how we work together with folks from diverse backgrounds when dealing with bamboo. In my opinion, this aspect adds a layer of richness and depth to our bamboo experiences. Bamboo truly serves as a bridge, connecting us with people from various corners of the globe. But let's be real, how often do we really think about what intercultural communication means? Well, that's exactly what we are going to tackle today. I'm honored to introduce our guest, Mark Brownwell, a professor of intercultural communication at Frankfurt University of Applied Sciences. Now, enjoy the show. I'm very happy to have you here for this podcast and very welcome, dear Mark. Hi.
Thank you, Ayaka. I'm really pleased to talk with you today.
Thank you. Today's talk is very relevant to our listeners.
Yeah, well, I have to say, first of all, you're doing great work with bamboo. And I think that's an extremely practical approach to solving intercultural clashes in that you can naturally bring people of different cultures together to build with bamboo and all kinds of ways that we can use it. So this is that's why I'm very happy to give this interview for you.
So I wanted to start our conversation from the very basic question. So what is intercultural communication?
Yeah, it's a very big subject because there are so many cultures throughout the world, and not only national cultures, but all kinds of different cultures, corporate cultures, for example, or gender cultures and all kinds of cultures. But first, we'd have to explain what culture means exactly. And so culture is many things. It's language. So language is a carrier of culture, of course, but also body language, not only the spoken language, gestures, and also customs, traditions. But above all, the most important aspect of culture, I would say, is values. So our value system, and that varies widely across cultures. So, for example, some cultures emphasize very much, let's say, hierarchies, that people of authority are very important, and we should line up with them and do their will. Whereas other cultures emphasize very much the individual freedom. So you can imagine there could be culture clashes in many areas. Also, another example might be that some cultures emphasize community or group above the individual very much. So then we can begin to imagine, yeah, then there could be easily cultural clashes. And so culture, just let me finish by saying that culture we could call the software of the mind in a way. So we have a mental programming, you could say, even from birth, the way we're brought up by our parents and our society. And so this kind of mental programming we take with us often throughout our lives. But actually we need to adjust it if we find out that some aspects of this mental programming are not so good. We should be ready to change things or to meet people halfway when we meet people from other cultures.
Thank you. So you teach this intercultural communication at the university level. You also have taught this in towns and cities. So why it is so important?
I think it's very important because the conflicts we see in the world today are partly due to differences in culture. So we need to understand cultures if we want to solve conflicts in the world, especially in this globalized world, where we find nations and very old cultures, thousands of years old sometimes, for example, in the case of China or India or Korea or Japan, these are very old cultures. We can easily have cultural clashes, and we do. And so the conflicts we see are partly due to culture, of course, also due to power games, unfortunately. That there are many people who love power and use power, but we have to see the cultural aspect. So I think that's one very important reason, especially today in the 21st century. We are living in the globalized age where all these different cultures are coming together through technology, transportation, through the internet, through mobile labor force. If you, even in your workplace, you can meet people from many different cultures. And so every day, we're going to perhaps encounter people from other cultures. Also, we have many refugees in many countries. At the moment, there are 100 million people are displaced and wandering, either within their own country or crossing borders into other countries. So these are all many, many reasons. In our neighborhoods, communities, we have people from different cultures. Even in the house where I live, there are several different cultures here, several different nations represented. So these are many, many reasons why we need to understand culture so that we can communicate better, but also solve problems. And I don't know what you would say are the main problems of the world today, but I would tend to say poverty is a very big problem because, poverty means lack of education, and lack of education. If we don't have education, it's very hard to develop our individuality and to develop our nation. So we even have hunger, even though there's enough food to go around for everybody. We have hunger in the world. We have economic situations. We just recently had a pandemic, and we have international terrorism. We have the danger of nuclear warfare. I don't want to sound pessimistic, but these are all the problems that exist. There are many beautiful things in the world too, and many beautiful things in culture as well, but we have to see that there are also many conflicts, and these conflicts are on the global level today, so they need to be tackled on the global level. So if we want to tackle them on the global level, we have to work globally and think globally, which means understanding other cultures. So, the global village, you could say.
Thank you. So I wanted to ask, what would you say to the people who are against the mixing of cultures?
Yeah, what would I say to people who don't want the mixing of culture? Well, first, I have to tell them in a nice way that they're not being realistic because we can't avoid it. It's happening. So the world is globalized. And of course, it's gone very fast and there are injustices. But then we have to tackle those injustices, but we cannot stop globalization. I think most people would realize that it's actually almost a natural process. And even in history, we had empires that brought many cultures together, and they found ways also how to live together within empires. Today we have the globalized world and we have nations. In Europe, we have many immigrants, and this is creating extremism. So some people feel they're losing their culture. But on the other hand, if you get to know many of the immigrants, they appreciate the country where they are, for example, Germany, and are willing to adapt many aspects of German culture. And I think German culture can be enriched by many aspects of cultures that are here, certainly. And enrich not only on the level of, I don't know, food, which there's, we have a much wider variety of food, which people love, music and art and so on, but also even values. We have things that we can learn from other cultures. Like here in the West, for example, our family traditions are very, very weakened at the moment. Perhaps we can learn something from Muslims about the strength of families. So if we need to be a bit open for that. On the other hand, I agree that we cannot have totally uncontrolled immigration. So I think it's very unrealistic to say open borders. And there are people who preach that, but that's not going to work either. But we have to realize, and especially Germany needs many actually millions of workers are missing in Germany in certain areas, whether it's nursing or whether in technical areas and IT and so on. And so there's no doubt that Germany relies on immigrants. And actually, bringing cultures together has many advantages. You can have much more creative thinking because you have greater synergy when you bring different people and different cultures together. It's the same as when you bring different sexes together. If you bring men and women together, you have a certain synergy and enrichment, whether it's in management or whatever area it might be. And the same applies to cultures. You have a synergy of ideas. So the way you see things with your mind, you see things from different aspects or angles from different cultures. This has been my experience anyway of working with people from different cultures, whether it's in the teaching profession, which I'm in, or the NGOs, whatever it might be. And even in business, you have a competitive advantage when you have an international, a global company that's more international. You have different ideas pouring in, and so you obviously have an advantage if you work on that kind of global level. And of course, finally, you have cultural enrichment. You can actually enrich your culture, as I mentioned in the beginning, through introducing new aspects. And I originally come from England, and England is a complete mix of cultures. If you go back and look at the history, I don't know if you can get any more mixed culture than English. Whether it's Celts, Romans, Danes, Vikings, Anglo-Saxons, Normans, it's constant mi mixing of cultures. And what came out in the end was something strong. So this is also worth considering, whether it's actually good to try to keep so-called purity of culture. And also, there are certain things we have to admit, there are certain things in cultures which aren't good. And in terms of human rights, for example, so we cannot say that everything is good in every culture and needs to be preserved. We need also to make some kind of progress in culture. So all of this leads to greater prospects for peace if we really deal with these intercultural issues.
I want to move on to the next question. What would you say is the main challenges to bringing the cultures of the world together?
Well, I think we ourselves are the main challenge as individuals. We don't easily open our minds to things that are new. So perhaps we need to look at ourselves and ask, how flexible we are in our minds, whether we are willing to accept new things that we haven't seen before, that we haven't experienced before. Are we willing to open our minds to those things? And or will we be overcome by a feeling of insecurity? So I think it's a question of our character in the first place, because our nature of being human is we want to live in our community, our group, and with things that are familiar. And for some people, things that are unfamiliar are very unsettling. And also that varies across cultures, by the way. Some cultures are more afraid of new things or new ways of thinking or new cultures, new groups of people, and other cultures are more open. That also varies. That's human nature anyway. We all want to belong to a group, but at the same time we all recognize our dignity as human beings. So we should be fair in dealing with each other, and we should be honest and have integrity. We should serve other people. I mean, these are basics of living together in a community. So we should extend that to other people, not only to our own group. So I think this kind of more universal thinking would help very much. And actually, the world is going towards that. If you look at the Universal Human Rights, for example, the United Nations Charter, in the 20th century. So the world is going in the right direction. And it's sometimes good to look at the UN Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms and to reflect, how are we doing, and how is my nation doing in those terms? Yeah, we all have, on the other hand, common things as human beings. We all sleep, we all eat, and we all have housing, like your area is bamboo, and so, but in different cultures, I guess they would use bamboo in different ways, I suppose, you know, to suit the local culture. So we all have common things which are called human nature, but depending on the geography and history of where we live, we do those things differently. Right? So I spent little time in Japan, and everyone slept on the floor, and that was fine. But that was sleeping, but a different way to sleep, and eating and so forth. So these are things that we do in different ways. And then we have the fact that culture is something learned. It's not something we actually inherit or that's, you know, in our human nature. We learn it after we're born. We start learning it, you know, so we develop habits of thinking and habits of ways of doing things. And, you know, habits are not easy to break. In a way, habits are the most fearful things because they're so difficult to change. So, but once we recognize that we have habits and we can change them, I think that gives us a lot of hope for intercultural communication. These are our main challenges, though. Our main challenges are really the different way we do things and that we think about things. And secondly, our habits, which aren't easy to change. And I would say a third point as well is our own individual character. So I don't know if you have brothers and sisters yourself. I have brothers and sisters, siblings. Four, and each one of them is so different, even though we were brought up by the same parents and in the same circumstances, everything, but we're so different almost. And I think every family is the same. And you wonder how, why is everybody so different? Because human nature is individual, we have an individual personality. And this is another big challenge, I think. So we need to respect the different personalities that people have, not only the different cultures, but also different personalities. And try to understand other ways of thinking. So some people would even say that rather than focusing on culture, we should focus simply on communication. And you know, how can I communicate with the person next to me, whoever it might be, from whatever culture they may come? So that's a really, really important area. But I think these are the two big challenge, three big challenges, actually, to intercultural communication. And I guess I would say in the end, awareness of culture is the first thing and the first and most important thing, to be aware that I actually have a culture, that I'm actually seeing the world through my tinted glasses, to have that realization. And the best way to experience that is to come together with people from other cultures. That's the best way that we can start to overcome our prejudices and stereotypes and so forth.
Thank you so much. I learned a lot today because like we tend to think that the culture is something, it's already there and we don't have to really think through. But now through the today's talk, I really learned that how we can rethink, re-examine, and then culture and then how it is learned. That I thought that that is a very big messages.
Well, like I said, I think the bamboo community is an excellent way to experience intercultural communication because it's always better when you have an activity to do with people from other cultures. So, in that experience of working together on a project, I think that's the very best way that we can understand other cultures and at the same time make great friendships. So, I see a great future for you. In
Thank you
this
so
particular.
much. That's all for today. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you again in the next episode. See you.